We're joined by Craig Singleton, Senior Fellow at the Foundation for Defense of Democracies, to discuss China's foreign policy. And it's a great time to have this discussion, Craig, with the Party Congress coming up. We've been musing on this program about a possible ideological shift coming from the Congress, and it would be a tweak away from economic development as the priority of the party to more of a balance between development and security. So that has a lot of implications to it with how China sees itself on the global stage. So I'd like to ask you, if indeed that's the case, how do you expect the cooperation between China and Russia to be over this next period?
No, thanks for having me. I mean, I know this may sound like something of a head-scratcher, but I really, despite all the media fanfare about the upcoming leadership gathering, I don't think this party Congress is all that remarkable. I mean, we've known for months, some might say years, that Xi would assume a third term. He has laid out, I think, in excruciating detail already, his vision for a China-centric global order, one that reflects Beijing's interests and values. And so I do think this Congress actually does more represent a continuation, not a turning point in China's policy orientation. What you see with Xi is, I think really what you get. Nevertheless, even with his position secure, there are no easy solutions to either the war in Ukraine or China's support for Russia, let alone any of the deep structural imbalances that plague China and its economy. And so far, at least, you know, Xi has really failed to put forward a compelling suite of policies or even a compelling narrative to address these complicated issues. I think as for Russia specifically, I suspect sooner rather than later, Xi is going to be forced to maybe take some bold steps to bolster Putin's regime. How far Xi is really willing to go is, I think, frankly, anyone's guess.
Yeah, and that gets to that point that I know you've sort of alluded to as well about why Beijing perhaps has refused to cross the sanctions red line here when it comes to the war in Ukraine. So what happens if the war deteriorates? What does that mean for the China-US relationship, China-Russia relationship?
Absolutely. I mean, I think in the case of the No Limits partnership, I suspect that we may be thinking perhaps incorrectly of this partnership as a Western-style alliance. You know, China is not familiar with that sort of alliance construct or the notion, right, that China would put another country's interests or needs above its own. That's very foreign to Beijing. And so I think the threat of U.S. sanctions against China at a time when China's economy is already really in a tailspin, that threat is very acute. And leaders in Beijing understand those risks, just as they did in the Iran context back when China dialed down its support for Tehran so as to avoid being sanctioned by the Trump administration. I think whether China likes it or not, there's every indication that China, you know, remains as reliant as ever on U.S. technology and capital to sustain its development. And so at the end of the day, China could easily take steps today to help Russia as it pleads for additional wartime support, but doing so would come at a pretty high cost. And right now, there's just no indication that Beijing is willing to tie its own economic fate to that of Moscow.
As you noted in your piece in Foreign Affairs, the Shanghai Cooperation Organization can speak to about 40% of the world's population. And if you think about it, it does fit with that narrative of Xi looking more at security, because it gives China and Russia and countries like Iran, sort of a bolstered position to stand up to the West. And so maybe that is the direction that they go. And what do you think the consequences for the West are if that grows?
No, absolutely. I mean, I think when we talk about at least SCO or perhaps China and Russia's partnership, I often think that while they are brought together by a mutual loathing of the United States, I'm not actually convinced that they have like a shared vision for the world. I think that, you know, Putin really relishes this role as a spoiler. He wants to blow up the U.S.-led order. Xi, by his own admission, talks about co-opting it. I think some of that divergence is actually what we're seeing now in Ukraine. And what we will likely see is the growing power asymmetry between Moscow and between Beijing sort of expands. I think SCO is a manifestation and a representation more of Xi's vision for this alternate global architecture that reflects China's values and China's interests. And it is an attractive proposition. It's non-interference focused. Everyone gets to show up. SCO and other like entities aren't going to tell member states or participants what to do. It's very different than what we would probably associate with the U.S.-led order or the United Nations or classic multilateralism. And I think that that is still very appealing when you have big countries, including India, the world's largest democracy, feeling as if the UN doesn't reflect its interests, doesn't represent its values, and sort of takes India for granted. I mean, it is quite compelling, and I think she will build out this broader architecture, both in the security space, but also in the broader multilateral space as he pursues this next third term.
In our opinion piece by Minxin Pei, he writes that that leaders like Mao Zedong and Deng Xiaoping and now Xi Jinping often get in trouble later in their period, and he cites the example of Vladimir Putin's invasion of Ukraine and Mao's Cultural Revolution. Do you see any signs that Xi is moving toward excesses, where he gets sort of insecure and starts coming up with certain programs that just can't come to fruition?
I think we've seen that already come to fruition in his second term, where big, bold initiatives have boomeranged back on China's economic growth in ways that most reform-oriented or reform-minded technocrats have been just shocked by. They assumed at some point even zero COVID probably being the greatest recent manifestation of that desire for control at the expense of growth. There's no indication that zero COVID is going away anytime soon. China, or I should say Xi, appears in this moment willing to absorb the costs, and they are severe, that come from zero COVID policy and other policies that we've sort of seen enacted, mostly driven to ensure that the party state can drive deeper into the lives of Chinese people and deeper into, China's economy in ways that we're already seeing how devastating and how much they've undermined China's growth prospects, its global reputation. There's no reason to believe that that's going to do anything but exacerbate as it goes forward. Xi will double down, I suspect.
Yeah. All right, Craig, thanks very much. We really enjoy having you on the program, or have enjoyed having you on the program. Thanks very much for taking the time. Craig Singleton there, Senior Fellow, the Foundation for Defense of Democracies.